Welcome to the world of Aeora, a news and lore podcast about the Pillars of Eternity games, as well as Obsidian Entertainment's upcoming release, Avowed. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the World of Aeora. I'm your host, Eric, aka Gingerino. Thanks, everyone, for joining me on another episode as we dive into the history, lore, and game mechanics for Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2 as we gear up for the release of Avowed. For those wondering why we pair those games together, if you're new to the show, welcome to the show. We pair them all together because they share the same fantasy world known as Aeora. And so as the theory goes, as we dive into those first two Pillars of Eternity games, we can gain a more nuanced understanding and appreciation for the game of Avowed when it is released. As well, for those of us who are nerds and geeks and just loves this kind of thing, there you go. That's another reason that you're here. So if you're new to the show, welcome to the show. Happy to have you here. I'll redirect you towards episode 80 or 81, where I kind of signpost you towards some helpful episodes to give context for some things that we talk about. But today is a good episode to start off on as well. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the sea shanties that we hear from Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire, as I found myself listening to the soundtrack recently. And I like hearing the little changes in the sea shanties from the second Pillars game and some of the lyrics that are in there, and maybe want to just discuss a little bit of the lore behind it. So nothing too deep today, but hey, you'll get to hear some sea shanties on the episode today and get a little bit better of an understanding about what the lyrics actually mean if you ever stop to actually listen to them. Before diving into the episode proper, just want to give a heads up on a couple of things. One, I do have a very important podcast-related question that I want to ask you, the listener. So if you wouldn't mind, after hearing the lore part, just listening to that question that I have, I'll dive more into that later. The show's not going away or anything like that, but there's an opportunity with this show that's kind of come up, and I'm questioning whether or not to take it, and I would really like some feedback on that. The second thing, just want to put this at the beginning so that nobody misses it. There's been a few people that have donated to the show through my Ko-fi account. First of all, thank you very much for those who had. There is one donation I got, however, that seemed pretty high to me, and thank you for it. However, it was labeled, I was checking it today, and it was labeled as monthly or recurring. And so if you've recently donated to this podcast, thank you yet again, but you meant for it to be a one-off, I would just recommend maybe go back and check, because I think there's two buttons there, and it's very easy to accidentally hit monthly rather than a one-off, and I would hate for someone to have done that by accident. So if that was you, then just go ahead and check that out quick. Otherwise, we'll just jump into the episode as it is. No other news to go over today related to Avowed. There is a little bit of Obsidian-related news, if that's the kind of thing that you're into. As many of you are well aware, the games Pentiment and Grounded are releasing on other platforms other than Xbox and PC, specifically Nintendo Switch and PlayStation. This next piece of news has to do with the game Grounded. The 1.4 update, the fully yoked update, as they're calling it, for Grounded is releasing, I believe, on April 16th. And it's a little bit bittersweet because it adds a lot of really cool stuff, such as a New Game Plus mode, full Japanese voiceover, which I don't speak Japanese, but I'm going to do that anyways. And there's a few other things that are going on in there. The sad part about it, though, is that it is reported as the final update for Grounded. So it sounds like Grounded is reaching the end of its life cycle, or at least in terms of new content updates. There could be paid expansions or DLCs down the road. They haven't said anything about that, so that's a possibility. As well, with the great success of Grounded, perhaps they're thinking of doing a second iteration of the game or another game just like it. Who knows? I know I'll buy it. Grounded is one of my favorite games of all time. If you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend it. It's probably the cream of the crop for survival crafting. That's just my opinion, but I'm kind of biased considering it was the one that really got me into it. But yeah, so that's Obsidian-related, nothing Aeora-related. So with that said, let's dive into the sea shanties today and get the lore that's inside them.
It's a fine three-master, thin like a bird. Heave-ho, it's silente. Oh, Captain Parfito's never said a hard word.
As we sail all our troubles away, hold fast to the helm, hold fast to the wind. Heave-ho, it's silente.
So there's a taste of the first sea shanty we're going to be talking about today. And Obsidian are pretty good about letting me put the music from the games into the episodes. However, I don't think I've ever done an entire song, but there's the first clip, Aeum Sparente. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be listening to any of these songs that come up. And we're going to be dissecting some of the lyrics that are in there and just discussing what that means and just kind of interpreting the song from a lore perspective. Because I don't know about you, I did play these games and I did hear the songs and I thought they were really cool, but I never really dove into them. So now you're not going to get any like crazy esoteric lore. Like you're not going to have just regular deck workers singing the hidden secrets of the Eorin universe to people's ears, right? But there's still lore in the songs. Now, before diving into the actual songs themselves, we'll just talk about kind of like the writing of these songs. Now, these were all rewritten by Josh Sawyer, the lead director for the Pillars of Eternity series. And these are all actually based off of real-life Earth sea shanties. So, according to the Pillars of Eternity fandom website, the song we just heard, Aeum Sperente, is actually based on Santiana. And the other songs, hopefully I'll mention them later when we play them, but I'll just say them here just in case. Roll the Old Barath's Wheel is based on Roll the Old Chariot Along. The Faithful Sailor is based on The Faithful Sailor Boy. Heave Away My Lendry is based on Heave Away My Johnny. Holloway and Go is based on Holloway Joe. And Deadfire Lines is based on The Black Ball Line. So these are apparently real-world sea shanties that have been rewritten for the purposes of Pillars of Eternity to Deadfire. And an extra cool thing about them as well is that these songs will actually take into account the gender of the player character or the ratio of male to female crew members that you have on your ship. And so the lyrics will change accordingly. So there's actually technically a few different recordings of this in the game. Now, for those wondering like what these sea shanties are about, because if you have played the game, you heard this song just now, you probably got a wave of nostalgia that burst over you when you're like, I gotta play this game. I gotta go back to Deadfire. Here's the context for what's going on. In Pillars of Eternity 2, you eventually get your own ship, which you can sail around the Deadfire Archipelago, the setting for the second game. As you're sailing, music in the background will be playing. However, if you have a high enough ship crew morale, then sometimes they will actually start singing these songs that are in the background. So as the camera is overhead in the world and your ship is going from one place to another, these sea shanties are playing as if your crew was singing them for you guys while you're out there sailing. And that's just all that there is. But each one of these songs has their own lyrics to it, which again, rewritten from other songs that were written as sea shanties. And we're just going to stop and take a look at some of these to understand the context of what it is they're actually singing about, if there's anything to be understood. So the first one is Aeum Sperente. So you already heard the first few stanzas of this, and there's several more after that. It's only a couple minutes long in total. But here are some of the things we have to talk about. The song starts off with, it's a fine three-master, thin like a bird, and as far as I can understand, that references a ship, the Aeum Sperente, so that's very likely a ship, which we'll get into the lore of that in a second. And they mention, oh, Captain Porfito's never said a hard word as we sail all our troubles away. Captain Porfito is an actual person within this game, whose name is Estulario Porfito, and he captains the ship, the Aeum di Sperente, which, you know, sounds exactly like the name of the song. There's not a lot of lore about Captain Porfito themselves, but there is a little bit more about the Aeum di Sperente. This is a galleon ship, so it's got three masts on it, all with sails, and you can actually run into this one. It is a Valian trading company ship, which you can kind of tell based on the name. If you're familiar with the Pillars of Eternity world, then you'll know that Aeum di Sperente definitely sounds like a Valian type of name. And actually, if you go into the Valian language that's in this game, you'll find that the word Aeum means love. And there's a bunch of other root words in there, like Aimika can mean friend, and Aimiko can also mean friend, masculine or feminine, I can't remember which one. And there's also some other words that begin with A-I-M, the I'm kind of sound, and they usually mean something along the lines of beloved. And so the best thing I can guess, jumping ahead, I guess, Sperente probably referring to a particular city that exists within this world, and Aeum Sperente or Aeum di Sperente, meaning love of this city. So it's probably like the city's love or something like that. That's my best guess, just kind of looking at the language there. And so that being the name of the ship, the captain being Captain Porfito, this is a ship you can actually run into. Now, it only appears if your player reputation in the game with the Valian Trading Company is -3 or worse. So if the Valian Trading Company doesn't like you in Pillars of Eternity 2, then this ship will show up, very likely because it's one that you have to keep an eye out for. It's a lot stronger and will mess you up if you don't know what you're doing. the place in the world that you do run into the ship is around Maje Island, which is the starting island for the Pillars of Eternity game. So not a lot of chance at the start of the game to piss off the Valiant Trading Company that quickly. But still, that's where they'll be if you do want to go see this ship that's inside this song in the first place. So the rest of the song sings some, I don't want to call them generic lyrics because they're not generic, but in the sense of like nothing lore related. So you hold fast to the helm, hold fast to the wind. That there's nothing lore related to that. That's just getting across parts of the song. The Heave Ho Iam Sperente, which is about the ship. I'm getting the impression that this song is sung from the perspective of people who are on the ship, which is interesting because you hear it from your crew members who definitely aren't on that ship. One of the lines, Andra's grace, or we'll all be skinned. Andra, the goddess of the sea and the moon and forgetfulness of this world. And so the Deadfire Archipelago has a lot of ships sailing on it. In order to get the Deadfire Archipelago and even play the Second Pillars of Eternity game, you're going to be sailing around on the ocean. And so a lot of themes about Andra, goddess of the ocean, is going to be repeated here. And the line, as we sail down Deadfire Way, has to do with sailing through the Deadfire, which is a frontier land in the world. It's not very well explored or understood, and so it's a very dangerous place to explore. You're not going to be within arm's reach of the local guard or a government that will help you out with stuff. You're out there on your own with your own skills and the people around you to survive. It's an exciting place to be if you're an adventurer. The song does continue to lament the people that you've left behind as you sail down the Deadfire Way. Again, like just repeating the same stanzas with the dangers of the Deadfire Way, that you could be skinned alive, except by Andra's grace. Halfway through the song, one of the stanzas opens with, they say in Deadfire the luminous grows, heave ho aim sparente. The luminous grows refers to a particular type of Andra that you find in the Deadfire Archipelago. Now, two things to say. First off, if you're hoping that I'm going to actually sing these stanzas, it's not going to happen. I'm so sorry. You don't want it. I want to maintain my listenership, so we're not going to do that. But second thing, Andra in this world is a unique gemstone in this world. The interesting thing about it is that it can hold spiritual energy within inside of it. So the soul of a person can be transferred from a body and be held within this gemstone called Andra. Luminous Andra is like the next tier up of that in the Deadfire Archipelago. It can hold more souls. It can transfer more energy. It's just more potent, more powerful at that particular thing. And as you might guess, it glows a luminous green color. And so that's one of the reasons why adventurers might be sailing down the Deadfire Way, is because that's where the luminous Andra grows, and that's why you might brave this area for your riches. The last piece of lore about this particular song and the ship related to it says that if we don't wind up in salty graves, we'll come back to Sperento someday. That's the second last stanza in this song. And Sperento is one of the names of the Valiant Republics, one of the cities in the Valiant Republics, sorry. The Valiant Republics, I've talked about them on an episode before, quite recently, I think. And Valiant Republics are actually a set of city-states. Like, they're these five cities, mainly, and they are the governing cities of the Valiant Republics, but they have their own individual governments. And those cities are Achenze, Ozia, Revua, Ceylona, and Sperento. And it even sounds like the name of the boat that's in this song, sorry, the galleon, I guess. I shouldn't call it a boat. That's a little insulting. The Iam Sperente, it sounds like the root word of that is almost related to Sperento, one of the cities. And so I feel like this rather famous ship that has a song named after it has a crew that comes from that city, and so it's just about their adventures and this, you know, this famous captain and all that. Why they got a song and whether there's any other ones out there, I don't know, but there you have it. That's Iam Sperente, the first sea shanty in this set of six. Next, we're going to look into Roll the Old Barath's Wheel.
A drop of good spice rum wouldn't do us any harm.
A drop of good spice rum wouldn't do us any harm. A drop of good spice rum wouldn't do us any harm. And we'll all hang on behind. And we'll roll the old Barath's Wheel along. We'll roll the old Barath's Wheel along. We'll roll the old Barath's Wheel along. And we'll all hang on behind.
A noble of Hornus too wouldn't do us any harm.
So there we have Roll the Old Barath's Wheel. Now, what is this song even about? And if you're interested in listening to any of this music, you can probably find it on whatever music app that you listen to for streaming. You can find it on YouTube. So you can, if you want to go seek this out, you can. But let's talk about, like, what does this song even talk about? The lines of things like, oh, a good drop of spiced rum won't do us any harm. things like that. Obviously, you know, nothing interesting or unique there. But when you actually start to think about the connection to, we'll roll the old Barath's wheel along, which is kind of the main part that they sing over and over again. The old Barath's wheel. Barath's wheel is another name for the wheel of this world, and the wheel is a name given to the cycle of reincarnation that exists within this world. And so, you know, if you're new to this podcast, if you're new to this world, then this will sound new to you. If you've listened to my show at all, then you've probably heard me mention this 1,000 times, so I won't belabor it. But this world does run on a cycle of reincarnation. You die, your soul leaves your body, goes to the beyond, and comes back, enters into a new body. Boom, cycle of reincarnation. That's the wheel, also known as Barath's wheel. And so the line in this song that says, we'll roll the old Barath's wheel along, to me indicates the idea of, like, that cycle is moving forward in the sense that you're dying, or that you're gonna die. So, oh, a drop of good spiced rum wouldn't do us any harm. Well, maybe it does, and you die, and so that rolls old Barath's wheel along. A bowl of Huana stew wouldn't do us any harm. You know, this song continuously repeats these ideas that, like, it doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to do anything to you, but then, you know, if you think about it, like, one of the lines is, oh, a stolen chest of pyres wouldn't do us any harm. Well, if you take a stolen chest of pyres and the person who stole it in the first place finds you, then perhaps they execute you. Thus, moving Barath's wheel along. Now, to kind of return back to that Huana stew, the Huana, if you're not familiar, are the local tribes and people groups that live natively in the Deadfire Archipelago, which, again, setting for the Second Pillars game. They might serve you a stew that is lethal, perhaps because you're not used to the stuff that's inside of it, or because they don't like you, which is very possible, because there's been a lot of negative interactions with new people coming into their lands. So in my mind, that's how I'm understanding these lyrics, are these different things that you can do that don't necessarily mean you're going to die, but very well could end up leading to your demise, and thus you'll roll the old Barath's wheel along. One of the lines, oh, a skirting Andra's mortar wouldn't do us any harm. Andra's mortar, you've already heard me talk about Andra earlier in this episode, the name of the goddess of the ocean, but Andra's mortar, both of those words capitalized, is an actual phenomenon or place within the Deadfire Archipelago. Andra's mortar is a giant section of the entire planet, actually, that is a huge oceanic storm, and it's incredibly deadly. It's basically a death sentence to sail into this storm, and that's practically the truth. Like, very rarely will anyone go through the storm, and if they do, you'll never see him again. Andra's mortar is powerful enough that it actually affects the living situation for the Rauhatyan people on a continent that's from far away from them. That's how powerful this thing is. So skirting along the edges of these oceanic storms, known as Andra's mortar, wouldn't do you any harm necessarily, but it's a surefire way to play with death. And the last line that I think is lore related is, oh, a knight in Queen's Birth wouldn't do us any harm. Now, Queen's Birth being a location in the city of Nekataka, which is kind of the major city in the Second Pillars of Eternity game. A big city, Nekataka, and there's, I think, 5 different sections that you as a player character can explore. Queen's Birth is kind of the introductory one. It's where, you know, it's where the city on the island meets the actual ocean, so it's the port part. I can imagine there's a lot of crime there. I can imagine staying a night in Queen's Birth wouldn't necessarily do you any harm, but there's definitely the potential for danger there. So be careful when you're wandering around Queen's Birth. And that's everything from Roll the Old Barath's Wheel. Let's move on to The Faithful Sailor.
It was on a cold and stormy night, the snow was on the ground. A sailor boy stood on the quay, his ship was outward bound. His sweetheart standing by his side had many a silent tear, and
And there you have The Faithful Sailor, based on The Faithful Sailor Boy. Now, as you can tell, this one's a little bit more melancholy, a little bit more slow, and actually, in terms of lore, there's not a lot in here. This song tells the story of a sailor boy and his girl, or his sweetheart, I guess, as she is referred to, standing by his side, and he's leaving with a ship that is going out. And it's a very, you know, sad goodbye, because the person that you love is leaving, and you don't know when you're going to see them again, or if you're going to see them again. And so they say farewell to each other as he sails off on the ship. She prays to Andra. There's a mention of the goddess Andra again to keep him safe. And other than that, there's not really a lot of lore that comes into this song. The story of the song does take a sad turn as the ship does come back and he is not on it. And he has a note that he wrote for her that kind of sings the lamenting part of the song, the repeating part anyway, sorry. It says, "I hope we meet on the wheel's next turn." Which is to say that, you know, in the next life for both of us, I hope that we meet again, kind of a thing. And that idea of soulmates, actually, in this world, is one that has some level of credibility to it. Like, if you and your loved one meet in one life and you get married and you love each other so much, then in your guys' next lives, you could theoretically, your souls, even though they'll be in different bodies, so it's a different person in a sense, your souls could reunite and find each other again. I think that would be actually an interesting story. I don't remember if we see anything like that in Pillars of Eternity. I would be surprised if we don't. If we don't, that would definitely be something prime for Avowed, you know, this nice little love story of this couple that every single time the wheel turned, their souls would find each other again, and, you know, they would continue their love story throughout the ages. Whether it's a happy love story, or they're like, both sociopaths and that's some weird side quest that you have to do. I don't know. It depends on how Obsidian wants to take it, but it's a fun idea. It's definitely something there. But yeah, not a lot of lore in this song, but definitely a nice one, in my opinion, if you're into that kind of a thing. But now we'll move on to Heave Away My Lendry, which is based on Heave Away My Johnny.
There's some that's bound for Hanchensey, and some that's bound for months. Heave away to teach them whales to dance. Heave away, my Lendry boy, we're all bound to go.
And so there we have Heave Away My Lendry, based on Heave Away My Johnny. I like this one a lot, not particularly because it's a better or worse song. I mean, that's up for, I guess, your own subjective interpretation. But there's a lot more, a little bit more lore in this one, I guess, and it actually alludes to a quest that you can perform in the first Pillars game. So in that first stanza, we've got, there's some bound for Enchenze, there's some bound for Mans, heave away my Lendry, heave away. Enchenze and Mans, those are both, as I've mentioned before, especially Enchenze, those are city-states within the Valian Republics, right? So those are locations for there. The Valian Republics is clearly a really important port city on the continent of the Eastern Reach. It sounds like a lot of people come from there. And it also makes sense that the Valian people would have a lot of songs that are being sung. They seem like the type of people to do that. But heave away my Lendry, heave away. We don't actually technically know who or what Lendry is, but it's pretty likely that it references a sailor named Lendry from the first Pillars of Eternity game. But if it doesn't, well, then that's fine. Because it's like, heave away my Johnny. There could be a lot of people named Johnny in the world, and heave away my Lendry. There's a lot of people named Lendry in the world. But in terms of Pillars of Eternity, there is actually a Lendry that you can interact with in the first game. There's a person that you interact with. Well, I guess you don't actually interact with him so much as you do hear about him. I'll explain a little bit here. Lendry is a regular NPC from Pillars of Eternity. So he's not like a companion or anything like that. He's just an NPC in the game. And this person primarily spent a lot of time in a location called Defiance Bay. Defiance Bay is the major city from the first Pillars of Eternity game. So I mentioned Nekataka as the major city in the second game. Defiance Bay is the major city in the first game. And it's the capital, basically, of the area that they're in. Like Nekataka, the city of Defiance Bay is split up into different sections. One such section is called Andra's Gift. That's the name of this area within the city. It's basically was the port city of this area, or the port town of this area, but it was destroyed during the War of Defiance, and now a lot of the city's forgotten and lower class end up there, which is interesting because it's named Andra's Gift, and people called the Gift Bearers, who are religious people associated with Andra, help people to forget grievances and help people to forget tough memories by taking mementos and objects associated with those memories and throwing them into the sea as a gift to Andra. That's why they're called Gift Bearers. And so this location being called Andra's Gift is kind of an homage to the forgotten end up there. Lendri and his friend named Ollie were two dock workers in Andra's Gift, and they would do an honest day's work, and then they would go to the local brothel called the Salty Mast, and they would spend their evenings there. They did this for several years, and then one night Lendri decided that he wanted to do something else. He stated that he had found a steady job, and that he was going to clean up his act and take another crack at a respectable life. And his story doesn't end there, but I don't want to get into that too much right now because it spoils one of the side quests, so I'll talk about that in a little bit. Returning back to the song, though, we have there's some bound for Echo Bay. Echo Bay is just a location somewhere in this fantasy world. You don't actually get to go there in the actual game yourself, but it is referenced in different places. It is apparently a location within the Tenfirths Earldom, the Deerwood that the first game is set in, the colony that is now the free nation of the Deerwood, is split into several earldoms, like provinces or states. One of those earldoms is Tenfirths, and a location within Tenfirths is Echo Bay. We don't know anything else about it, but that it is in this song, there's some people bound for Echo Bay. And if this is Lendri we're talking about, perhaps he meant to go get a steady job over in Echo Bay. To teach them whales to dance, heave away, my Lendri boy, we're all bound to go. Now, part of the reason that I do think this might be related to Lendri is because it talks about, you know, heave away, my Lendri kind of sounds like you're leaving or like you're going away. You know, we're talking about your boots and storm slicks are on and that you're going to go to Echo Bay. But this one stanza starts off with, farewell to you, Defiance Bay. Farewell to Haemor's Dock, which could refer to the dock in Andra's Gift. I mean, that could have been called Haemor's Dock, but there is a location in the Deerwood called New Haemor, and it would make more sense if New Haemor, if it's along the coastline, that it would have its own dock. And New Haemor is apparently in the Earldom of the Grasp, which is where other locations such as the Ruins of Cad Nua are, which are a location that you can play in-game. So it would make sense that if Lendri and Ollie were working in Andra's Gift, that they might have occasionally also worked in New Haemor. And so these two lines, farewell to you, Defiance Bay, farewell to Haemor's Dock, these might be two locations that Lendri worked. So it does kind of add a little bit of credibility to the idea that this is talking about this specific Lendri, this song dedicated to this person who wanted to leave the work of being a sailor, of being a dock worker. And so, you know, heave ho, away my Lendri is kind of like what's going on here. And that's the story behind Heave Away My Lendri, at least as far as I can understand it. Now, to get back to the quest that Lendri is associated with, which is called The Final Act, I'll talk a little bit about that now. However, if you're interested in playing Pillars of Eternity 1 and you don't want this side quest spoiled for you, then just skip ahead until you hear the next song come in. I'll make sure it's playing long enough that you could probably hear it. But if you want to listen in for the spoilers of the thing, then continue on. It is minor spoilers. It's just one small side quest, but it's a fun one in my opinion. It's got an interesting twist to it. So what ended up happening with Lendri is he decided he wanted to go and have another crack at a respectable life. That same night, he was picked up by a lady named Lumdala, who was fawning over him, and they left the Salty Mast that night. And after they left, however, Ollie hasn't seen his friend since then, and doesn't really know what happened to him. Turns out, Lendri was actually the victim of a depraved underground theater where Lumdala, this lady, would find people that were suitable for this kind of underground theater. And what she would do is she would take these victims to her dwelling and then go to this hidden location underground where they would perform a theater in which they would kill people in, you know, very artistic ways, I suppose, for an audience of depraved rich people. And Lendri was just one victim of many. And that's the story of Lendri in the final act. It's a really interesting quest just because it kind of comes out of left field. You're just like, help. It's like, I haven't seen my friend in a while. Okay, I'll try and find your friend. He was associated with this lady Lumdala. All right, go and investigate her. And eventually you find this like really unnerving, creepy place in the basement and you start to actually unravel what happened and that there is just this elite group of people that enjoy watching theater productions where people are actually murdered on stage. And it's just, wow, you know, like, where did that come from, you know? That kind of, like, dark writing is something that I think Obsidian nailed really well, and I wonder how in depth it will get with Avowed, if we'll have anything similar to that kind of a tone at all. So that's the song Heave Away My Lendry. Let's move on to Holloway and Go, which is based on the song Holloway Joe.
When I was a little boy, so my mother told me,
way Holloway, will Holloway and Go.
That if I did not kiss the girls, my lips would all grow moldy.
Way Holloway, will Holloway and Go.
Tell me,
way Holloway, the good ship now is rolling. Way Holloway, will Holloway and Go.
Old Gaffin held the Inwood's crown before the revolution.
So this song is one of my favorites, not because it's got a particular lore about or anything like that. I just really enjoy the line that if I did not kiss the girls, then my lips would all grow moldy. I don't know why, but I love that line. It makes me chuckle every time I hear it, and I'm always here for a good laugh. So this song, though, does actually have a little bit of lore relating to the history of the Deerwood, the setting for the first Pillars of Eternity game, that I think is actually quite interesting. In the fourth stanza, there is the line, "Old Gathbin held Yenwood's crown before the revolution. Way Holloway, will Holloway and Go." Now, that refers to a person named Ranig Gathbin, who was the Earl of Yenwood. Yenwood being one of the earldoms that we've been talking about. So, state or province, whatever you want to think of. Ranig Gathbin, that would be Old Gathbin. He held the crown for this earldom that is Yenwood. But, during the Deerwood's fight for independence from their mother nation, a deer, when the Deerwood was trying to gain its own independence in the War of Defiance, some of the earls, and therefore their earldoms, sided with the Empire rather than with the Deerwood. And after the war was over and the Deerwood gained its independence, obviously they didn't really take kindly to some of their nation's leaders siding with the people they were fighting against. And so Ranig Gathbin ended up losing his lands and his title. And so the earldom of Yenwood ceased to be, and his regency over that was stripped away from him, which is what this line has to do. Old Gathbin held Yenwood's crown before the revolution. And the next stanza starts up with Duke Admeth made that traitor pay, he had his retribution. And that just refers to the leader of the Deerwood at the time, Duke Admeth, kind of taking that out against Old Gathbin by stripping Gathbin of his earliness, or whatever you want to call that, basically made the traitor pay. Now, later on in this same song, though, it says, "Young Gathbin sought the Yenwood's crown long past the revolution." Now, this refers to someone named Arledor Gathbin, and if you've played the first Pillars of Eternity game, you're familiar with this person, because this is someone you actually interact with. You, the player character, when you're playing Pillars of Eternity 1, you become the Watcher, and you become the Watcher of Cad Nua, which is to say that you end up taking over and controlling and owning this ruined site called Cad Nua, and you restore it. You make it a stronghold again, and it's essentially like a lord's keep or a lord's castle. It's a big place. It's an entire place. It's got a castle. It's got walls. It has its own shop. It can even have its own theater if you decide to build one. That's kind of the whole stronghold management system. But anyways, you, the Watcher, you get this stronghold, Cad Nua. However, Cad Nua is technically within what would have been Yenwood. It's now part of the Grasp, as we already talked about, but it would have been part of Yenwood. And this guy, Arledor Gathbin, since he was related to Ranig Gathbin, who was the Earl of this area, Gathbin is making the claim that he has rightful ownership to Cad Nua. He's not trying to, like, start up the entire province or Earl of Yenwood again, I suppose, but he wants ownership of Cad Nua now that it's no longer dangerous. And so he challenges you, legally speaking, he challenges you in a legal way to try to have legal ownership of Cad Nua again. So that's what that line refers to. Young Gathbin sought the Yenwood's crown, which is Cad Nua, long past the revolution, referring to the War of Defiance. And then the next stanza says, "The Watcher met him on the field. They gave him execution," which is to say that eventually this kind of all culminates with you confronting Arledor Gathbin And I suppose this song is choosing the outcome of this, but I mean, technically you don't have to pursue the outcome. And there's some things that can go on the quest. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but this song just kind of, you know, this is the way the song's written, right? So the Watcher met him on the field, gave him execution. And that tells you how that was supposed to go, that the Watcher versus Gathbin, Watcher wins. And I mean, that kind of makes sense since you're playing the second Pillars of Eternia game when you hear the sea shanty. And I'm not sure what those lines and those stanzas have to do with the overall song, because it starts off talking about kissing the girls, and then it, like, tells the story of Yenwood's history and the rulers that have been there. And then it goes back to this. Now, first I met a Deerford girl, and she was fat and lazy. Like, it goes right back to talking about the girls that the singer has kissed or spent time with, and the next one being an Ozean girl. Right, and these are all, so like a Deerford is a location in the world and all that, so that's all those words mean. Right, so I'm not sure what the connection is between, you know, Yenwood and its rulership versus kissing girls, or boys, depending on whether your character is a man or woman. But there you go. One of my favorite songs, because it talks about some real actual history of the first Pillars game that actually involves you, the player character, and you're in this song, technically speaking. But again, it's just, if I did not kiss the girls, my lips would all grow moldy. Just, it makes me laugh every time. With that said, let's get into the last song, Deadfire Lines, based on the real-life sea shanty, the Blackball Line.
I found my spine on the Deadfire Lines.
Tell me when, hey, hooroyah!
From a Deerwood babe to a sailor fine.
Hoorah for the Deadfire Lines!
Now dead fire roots, they make good time.
Tell me away, hey, hooroo, yeah.
With the clear wide streets and inlets fine.
Hoorah for the dead fire line.
This song is not really very lore heavy, and it kind of just says the same thing over and over again. It's not my favorite out of all of these, by the way, but you know, whatever. Because I always tell you which one's my favorite, and I don't want you thinking I'm just one of those guys that's like, oh, I love everything, you know? This is probably my least favorite, but, it's still a sea shanty. It's fun to hear. But anyways, so from what I can gather about what this song is getting at is basically there are these quote-unquote lines, these paths that you will sail along in the Deadfire Archipelago that have kind of been established as safe, I would imagine. And so that's what I imagine the Deadfire lines are. I tried to do a little bit of research, and that's kind of what I got out of it. And so I found my spine on the Deadfire lines. The spine actually might refer to the keel line of the boat. I don't know if that's what it's called. I know in a canoe that's what it's called, but whatever. The long spine of the boat, if you will, that's on the bottom. You put your spine on the Deadfire line, which would be the established, you know, sailing route within the Deadfire. And that makes it less dangerous, right? That's my idea behind it. And it also is a way for you to get more experience sailing because, you know, you're not dying or almost a dying left, right, and center. Hence the line, from a Deerwood babe to a sailor fine. Hurrah for the Deadfire lines. And it continues on saying that Deadfire routes make good time, clear wide straits and inlets fine. There's all of these lines going on about, you know, hurrah for the Deadfire lines. That's pretty much all it is. So that's kind of what I'm getting from it, is it's just a song in praise of establishing good sailing routes. There is a couple things here where they say, take a trip to Port Maje, which is just a port town that exists in the Deadfire Archipelago. It's actually the first major settlement that you'll run into in the game. Valian captains you'll see there with their knee-high boots and their fine dark hair. Valian captains, we've kind of talked a little bit about Valians. I have an episode about the Valian culture if you want to listen to that. And you will learn that fashion is really important to them. So mentioning knee-high boots and fine dark hair is pretty on point for a Valian captain. But other than that, there's not really a lot here to, like, get lore out of. It's just talking about the reality of coming up with safe trade routes or sailing routes, which honestly, like, that's an important thing. When you start to look at the contextual history of Deadfire within the Pillars of Eternity, you know, calendar, if you will, establishing safe routes that you can use over and over again is a way to be able to get resources in and out of the Deadfire Archipelago. It means you can set up settlements, then you can have, you know, your mother nation or wherever you're from, you can send things back and forth. It means that you can actually start to set up trade routes. You can settle and expand. That's actually a really important thing when it comes to doing things like that. If you're going to explore this new area that is a frontier land, you know, one of the things that make Deadfire Archipelago a frontier land is that you're in the middle of the ocean somewhere. And if you need help, it's kind of up to you and whoever's with you. But when you start to establish things like the Deadfire lines, where people can safely travel back and forth, you can start to set up things like an outpost where people leave from to go help people who are in need, and so that they can invest more into the area that they're in and develop infrastructure and things like that. I know that's taking the lore a little bit further than it was maybe meant to, but that, you know, that's just how I think about this, and I'm sure some of you do as well. I think in terms of tabletop role-playing quite a lot, so this kind of thing does come up a little bit. I think about what are the implications of something like this. And I think it gives it, for me personally, it gives me more of an appreciation for the game that it's played in. And I don't know any of you listening out there, but just hearing these songs over again and then really thinking through the lore of what the songs are talking about, even though it's a lot of it's surface level stuff. Although I think maybe there's a couple things in there maybe you didn't know before. Still, it's really, I don't know, it makes me pine to play the game again. So like I'm kind of just like really wanting to just go back into the Deadfire game, which, you know what, I occasionally do. I have an algorithmic role-playing character that I have who I can pick up and drop at a moment's notice, but I'll talk about that on some other day. For now, that's everything we have to talk about today. Thanks everyone for sticking in there. I thought it was kind of a weird episode. I was really thinking on, like, should I get into some deep esoteric lore, which I do want to continue doing, so for those of you out there who want that, don't worry, it's going to come back. But I also just thought about the sea shanties today. It had it stuck in my head, and I was wondering about the lore that was in it, and I thought, you know what? This is an example of something that I want to do on this show when I say that I want you to appreciate the nuance in the writing in these games of like this thing that you hear, and the lore might not be super mystical and crazy and fantastical, but it alludes to things that are in the actual history of this game, and it makes the game that much more lived in. You know, it gives you an appreciation for this thing that you hear all the time. I don't know how many times I heard these sea shanties. I never once thought about Haul Away My Lendry being about the actual person Lendry from the first Pillars game, and I remember that quest very fondly because it came out of nowhere. You know, so that's kind of like part of the purpose of this show. And when I made that connection is when I really decided that, okay, that's what this week's episode is going to be. But for those of you again who missed the more esoteric stuff, I will try to get into some more stuff down the road. If any of you out there have any topics that you would like covered, however, or if there's anyone new to this world that you have any questions about the world, send me an email, worldofeora@gmail.com. I'm always up for taking suggestions on topics or explaining things that people are new to. With that said, let's start closing out today's episode.
Is an oath worth the weight of a crown?
Now, normally I would talk about how this relates to Avowed in some way. Other than Avowed having their own sea shanties or songs in a bar, which actually I wouldn't be surprised about if you walk into a tavern and you hear people singing songs in taverns. You know, that's the only thing I can think of. But we don't know what the lore is going to be. We don't know what the lyrics of those songs are going to be. So that's about as far as I can go. I hope that Obsidian includes something like that, even if it's just a one-off, because that kind of thing is really cool. And it's these little things like this that really give the world flavor, and it really makes the world feel more real. So that's all I can think of for a connection to Avowed. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed the music, and it made you pine to play the game again, or it made you interested in trying it out. But other than that, not much else to talk about. In regards to myself, I told you last week that I was having trouble picking a game to play. I am considering starting up a playthrough of The Outer Worlds again, and specifically what I'm thinking of doing, though, is playing through The Outer Worlds as if I was playing through it the first time and that I was going to make a lore program about it. And the reason being is because I'm thinking about Avowed coming out later this year, and I'm thinking about how do I play a game and then do a lore program about it? Because there's going to be certain instances where I learn lore about the world through the game of Avowed, and I can do episodes on that. But then what about some of the more wide-reaching pieces of lore where I don't necessarily learn the conclusion to some things? Do I wait until I finish those quest lines before doing episodes on that, or do I not? And I wasn't sure how to approach that, and I thought to myself, well, Avowed is already kind of going to be approached the same way that The Outer Worlds was, except obviously in a different setting. What if I kind of simulated that by doing that with The Outer Worlds? So I'm really considering starting doing that soon, doing another playthrough very thoroughly of The Outer Worlds, and then making content around that. Not on this show, don't worry. I'm not going to change this to an Outer Worlds lore program, but I'm going to actually sit down and record myself talking about The Outer Worlds. Whether or not that sees the light of day or becomes its own podcast on the side, even if it's a limited run series, I don't know. But it's just going to be for me to practice doing that kind of a thing. If you have any thoughts on that, send me an email, worldofeora@gmail.com. Maybe I'll make that exclusive content for the Ko-fi stuff, which is kind of like Patreon. And speaking of which, now is the time where I talk to you about things that are going on the show. I mentioned that there's something important I want to talk to you about, and this is where it comes up. So I have had the opportunity to potentially join a podcast network, which is something I've always been interested in because, well, I mean, A, it would make the show have a wider appeal. More people would be able to listen to it, and that's always nice and all that. But again, I'm not doing this to make money. You know, it's not something I'm trying to make a living off of. I'm just doing it because I love it. But I've had the opportunity to join this podcast network, and I'm very seriously considering it. The only reasons I haven't just jumped on board are, well, there's a couple things. One is that there is a fee associated with being on a podcast network. And since this isn't something that I'm trying to make money with, it's just a thing I'm doing for fun, I'm asking myself, do I really want to spend $50 a month to be on a podcast network when I'm happy to just stick with the audience I have? But that being said, I do want to also grow as a content creator. As well, being on a network would give me some potential benefits. Not only would I be able to consult with other professionals and possibly have more people on and have access to other services, I think also it would give me a little bit more clout if I wanted to do something like, say, have developer interviews. I think Obsidian would still have people come on the show. Like, I think that my numbers are more than robust enough that they would be willing to jump on. I'm not worried about that. And I don't think that people at Obsidian seem very elitist in that kind of a way. You know, still, that the stuff in my corner helps. And so I am considering it, but it's not something I can really afford. And so I'm kind of, because I've always had ongoing conversations with you, the listeners, a lot of you have emails that you send to me, a lot of you talk to me on Discord or through Reddit, and I've always been in touch with, I would say a lot of you, probably not all of you, but a lot of you, and I've always taken that into consideration about what to do with the show or where it might go. And so I'm putting that to you, the listener. If you are genuinely interested in the idea that, okay, this show being on a podcast network and it helping grow the podcast, possibly even bringing in some income through ad revenue, which is a downside, I'm not too keen on the idea of doing ads, but they would be a required part of being on the podcast network. But, you know, I'm okay with that, but I'm here to ask you guys, what do you think? Is this something that you think would be a boon? Is this something you think is good? Or are you like, if there's any ads, I'm off the show kind of a thing? So what I'm primarily going to do is I'm going to go on my Ko-fi account and I'm going to set up a goal that says if we can get $50 a month ongoing kind of a thing, if we hit that goal, then I will assume that that means that's the kind of thing that people are wanting to join in on that goal. You wanting to join in on that kind of a campaign. And if that's what happens, then okay, I will send a message to the guy and be like, I'm interested in joining the podcast network and I have a listenership that are supporting me in that. If that's not something that you think is a good idea, you don't like the idea of there being ads, obviously if you're paying, then, you know, if you're on the Ko-fi account, you're gonna get ad-free options for it, but that's not the point. Now, I don't want to dissuade anyone from donating to the show if you don't like that idea, but you do want to donate to the show. When you donate, you can send a message with it. Just type in the message that, hey, this is just for to support you and to support the World of AR podcast, not to support the idea about joining a podcast network. So I just want to put that out there to you guys because I really do value what you guys have to say. And this would be something where I'd be partnering with people who want to support the show in that direction. And if that's a direction that you think you want to be a part of, then by all means, go to my Ko-fi account. That's ko-fi.com/worldofayora. Feel free to support the show and leave a note saying whether or not you agree with that. And or you can just even email me, worldofayora@gmail.com. Send me a message wherever you see me. Let me know what your thoughts on that are. Because, yeah, it's something I'm considering, but it affects you, the listener. So, therefore, I think you deserve to have a right to say it. Now, okay, I've belabored it long enough. That's really all I had to say about it. It's an exciting opportunity, and again, one that I hope would lead towards things like developer interviews or things like that. But obviously, I can't know what will come of it. So, that's just there for you. Anyways, if you enjoyed today's episode or didn't enjoy today's episode, if you thought I rambled too long about the whole potentially joining a podcast network thing and you want to send me a nasty email, worldofayora@gmail.com is the place to go. Or you can hit me up on Twitter and call me bad names @worldofayora. And lastly, again, if you wanted to, you know, go onto the Ko-fi account and passive aggressively send me money to really show me what for, then go for it. ko-fi.com/worldofayora. That again, it's not there because I am expecting people to support the show. That is just there for people who find value in it. If that's something you want to do, go ahead. But if not, don't worry. I will happily continue to let this show go for free. That is okay with me. But anyways, that's everything for today. Thanks everyone for joining me on an episode where we took a look at some sea shanties from the Second Pillars game. And hopefully you got some nostalgia or got a little bit interested in trying the game out. so you can learn more about the world of Eora directly. I know it worked for me. I'm really wanting to go back and play those games right now. Songs really do that for me, I'm sure for a lot of people. But yeah, it was a fun episode to do, and I can't wait to get back into more lore for the world of Eora. But for now, that's been everything. I've been your host, Eric, aka Gingerino, and I'll see you guys next time.